here's a story from The World.
When police officers in Minneapolis used lethal force and pinned George Floyd to the ground in May, his death sparked worldwide protests. It also brought international pressure on the U.S. to examine its policing. The Trump administration has pushed back against that, but a group of high-profile advocates has taken matters into its own hands. As The World's Rupa Shenoy reports, it has been a tough battle.
It was an unprecedented request. After George Floyd was killed by police in May, more than 600 human rights organizations, along with a group of African nations, asked the United Nations Human Rights Council to set up an independent inquiry into systemic racism and police brutality in the United States. The council convened a rare, urgent debate to consider the request in the form of a resolution. George Floyd's brother, Philonis, spoke by video.
You and the United Nations are your brothers and sisters keepers in America. I am asking you to help us, black people in America.
The United States wasn't officially part of the debate, which was held in June. That's because in 2018, the U.S. became the first country to quit its seat, accusing the council of bias against Israel. But behind the scenes, the Trump administration lobbied aggressively against an international independent investigation focused just on the U.S. That's according to Jamil Dakwar, Human Rights Program Director for the American Civil Liberties Union, one of the groups that backed the resolution.
The outcome is a result of the pressure, the bullying that the United States did, assisted by many of its allies.
One of those allies was Israel. This was its representative, Aviva Raz Schechter, during the debate.
If this council has a role to play in defeating racism, it should refrain from singling out one specific country, let alone a strong democracy, where transparency, the rule of law, and accountability mechanisms are in place.
Ultimately, the resolution was rewritten to make the investigation more general. It tasks the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, with delivering a final report in June 2021 on police violence across the world. The resolution doesn't require Bachelet to hold public hearings.
I think the challenges are great because this is not a full-fledged independent commission of inquiry.
This is Jamil Dakwar of the ACLU again.
It was pretty unprecedented to have such a meeting convened. While it was disappointing, it was not entirely surprising.
That's because this is not the first time African Americans turned to the UN for help.
Old Man River, that old man river.
In 1951, singer and activist Paul Robeson submitted a petition to the UN signed by nearly 100 prominent Americans, charging the U.S. with genocide of African Americans. In 1978, another petition charging human rights violations by the U.S. was filed by an international attorney named Lennox Hines. And 42 years later, after George Floyd died and the UN Human Rights Council decided against an inquiry into U.S. police violence, the same Lennox Hines started a drive to create an alternative investigation to take its place. The commission leading the investigation would hold hearings, write a report, and deliver it to the UN Human Rights Council. Hines, now a retired Rutgers University professor, was meticulous in recruiting prominent international figures to be the commissioners.
We anticipate there would be pushback, and one of the first things that they will do is disparage the credibility of the commissioners. And so therefore we sought individuals who have an international reputation, so their report cannot be dismissed out hand by the United States.
None of the 12 commissioners is from the U.S. They include prominent lawyers, advocates, professors, judges, and U.N. special rapporteurs from South Africa, Nigeria, Japan, India, France, Costa Rica, the U.K., and Jamaica. One, Hina Jalani, founded Pakistan's Human Rights Commission and sits on the Council of Elders created by Nelson Mandela. Another is Sir Hilary Beckles, Vice Chancellor of the University of West Indies. He's now at the University of Glasgow and helped negotiate that school's decision to pay millions in reparations for its role in the slave trade. Those are the commissioners. The organizers putting everything together include leaders of the International Association of Democratic Lawyers, the National Conference of Black Lawyers, and the National Lawyers Guild. They also include Carrie McLean, an international human rights lawyer with the U.S. Human Rights Network.
we don't want this to be adversarial. We want the High Commissioner to actually use this report. She's not doing hearings, so we're doing hearings.
Because McLean says sometimes taking things to the international community does affect change.
South Africa took that approach, reached out for international solidarity when they were trying to dismantle apartheid. And this is the approach that we decided we have to take since the powers that be in the U.S. are still putting up such a strong fight.
The commission will carry its work out over Zoom because of the pandemic. It plans to hold hearings from January 18th to February 6th. The investigators will consider cases of police brutality from the past 10 years, along with historical data. Here's attorney Lennox Hines again.
So when the United States gets up and says, we are the bastion of human rights, we hope that by documenting these cases in the international community, that the United States will be held to account by the United Nations.
The commission will record and transcribe the hearings and publish its report in English, French, and Spanish. For The World, I'm Rupa Shenoy. From PRX.